You're a little older and a lot wiser. The future is yours. Define aging on your own terms. Welcome to AARP Without Limits with your host, Mike Olander.
Hello and welcome. This is AARP Without Limits, WPTF Talk Radio, disrupting aging with the power of 50,000 watts, and our podcast available anytime on demand at WPTF.com or through our Facebook, AARP North Carolina. I'm your host, Mike Olander of AARP North Carolina. We've got a great program for you today, folks. Chris Brandenburg, who is our new manager of advocacy, is with us to talk about how AARP North Carolina advocates on your behalf at the State House and what are the priorities for this year's short legislative session. But before we get to that, as always, ladies and gentlemen, I'm joined here in the studio by my partner in crime, our esteemed production engineer, Mr. Jason Kong. Jason, how are you, my friend?
Mike, it's great to be here with you. Always appreciate being able to help you out disrupt aging for the next 24 or so minutes here.
Appreciate you putting it just that way, Jason. I have to say, I was really, it's not often that I go back into the archives or to WPTF.com to listen to the past episodes of AARP Without Limits, but I did do that recently just to see how our most recent program came out. As you know, we had a really special feature on a big AARP conference that took place, Empower You. And I want to encourage anyone, if you haven't heard that program, please do that. Take a listen to that episode. I think it came out really fantastic and heard from a lot of inspiring volunteers tell their stories. But anyway, Jason, I went back into that to see how the final product came out. And two things came to mind. Number one, you, my friend, have got a real radio talent, okay? You've got the voice. And every now and then when I'm driving in the car and I have on WPTF, you know, I will hear you go, "Oh, that's Jason." I go, "Man, he sounds so much better than I do." And I don't know what you're, well, I guess it's not a secret. It's just the way you are, Jason.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. You do a wonderful job, so I think you're being way too hard on yourself. I think it's one of those things where whenever you listen back to yourself, most people like cringe a little bit. They don't really enjoy the experience of listening to themselves, and me included. I don't want to listen to me. I'd rather listen to you or Chris.
Okay,
or
but you got
else.
You got the tone, and that's what I mean is the tone. And so I'm, you know, this morning actually I'm getting up, and you know it is when you're groggy in the morning, laying in bed, you're still on your back, and you talk, and your voice is all deep, and you know a bit more groggy. And I'm like, maybe I should do the show from bed. Maybe I should connect the boom to my bed frame here and do our programs. I don't think that's going to convey the energy that we want to, Jason. We want to inspire people at AARP Without Limits. We don't want to be showing our limits, if you know what I'm saying,
there you
being
go.
Confined to the bed. But anyway, the other thing I noticed was in listening to this program, the stories that came from volunteers, their experiences really say a lot about the value of giving back to your community. And it got me thinking as I was listening to that show and to those stories all over again. This concept of the butterfly effect. You familiar with that, Jason?
Sure.
I think most people maybe have heard about it or have thought about it one way or another without actually knowing what it's called. But the idea here that you know, life kind of, you know, one thing happens and it causes effects and a sort of a chain reaction of things. And I have pulled this up just to give some historical context here. The term butterfly effect was coined by meteorologist Edward Lorenz, who discovered in the 1960s that tiny butterfly scale changes to the starting point of his computer weather models resulted in anything from sunny skies to violent storms, with no way to predict in advance what the outcome might be. And as we know with movies, they've explored this concept a lot. You know, my favorite is probably Back to the Future, though that's got a lot to do with time travel too. But the idea that, you know, you do one thing and it affects so many things afterwards, and you have no way of predicting what the pattern's going to be. Another great example that I think really digs into this well is the movie Sliding Doors, I think from the late 90s with Gwyneth Paltrow. You know, she loses her job, she goes running for the subway, and she misses the subway. But then all of a sudden, and her life goes in a certain way. But then they show what would happen if she made the subway, and she meets this charming guy, and her life completely, you know, they end up in completely different places. And I got thinking about that because so many of our volunteers, you know, they've come to AARP to volunteer for different reasons. You know, some of them have never really gone out and expressed themselves or used their skill sets in a way that they wanted to, and we provide the opportunity. Others have found that they're motivated by something. Maybe they have been affected by a particular issue, and AARP works on that issue, and instead of saying, you know what, this happened to me, and I'm not going to let it get me down. I'm going to do something about it. Fraud is a great example. You know, we hear all the times people, very smart, educated people, getting finding themselves to be the victim of fraud, and they're embarrassed by it, and maybe don't want to tell anybody about it. You know, other people, though, you know, maybe they will tell people about it, but won't do much beyond that. And then others get really motivated and say, I want to actually do something about this. And then what they wind up doing maybe is they find out, you know, they listening in on an AARP program or a workshop at a library that we're doing or something, and then they realize, wait a minute, the person who's delivering this program isn't a paid staff person. They're a volunteer. What's their background? What's their expertise? Well, maybe sometimes they do have some law enforcement or some consumer protection background, but a lot of times it's just somebody who is just a regular, everyday person who doesn't have any specialized background in an area, but they are really motivated to help do something about that that problem. And so that person in the audience might say, I can do that too, and I want to do something about that. And those have been some of our best, most passionate volunteers over the years. And so I got thinking again about this butterfly effect, Jason, and thinking, wow, you know, folks who are listening to this, if there's something out there that bothers you, if you're intimidated by the, you know, the challenges that come with aging, or you're taking care, you know, you're a caregiver for an older parent or something like that, and you come to AARP for assistance, you know, try to pay it forward, you know, and use that experience that you're having, even if it's not a good experience, I'd say especially if it's not a good experience, try to squeeze some lemonade out of that lemon for the benefit of everybody. And reach out to us. And, you know, you can always go to our website or to our Facebook, but we'll always love hearing you from you at the show here, AARP Without Limits at AARP.org. And you can find out about how you can get involved with us. So anyway, Jason, a big takeaway from me again from that last program that we had. And it's nice when you, again, I don't like hearing my voice back, but it was great to hear those volunteer voices once again. So all that being said, to kind of shift from volunteers to staff, I'm really pleased, Jason, that we have Chris Brandenburg as our guest here today. He's been on the show. I know he's no stranger to you. He's been here a couple of times with us at AARP Without Limits. But this is the first time that Chris is here as our new manager of advocacy for AARP North Carolina. So welcome to the show, Chris Brandenburg.
Mike, thanks so much for having me back. And I will admit, I was hoping a little bit you might have me here in March to talk NC State basketball, but I suppose this will do as well. So happy to be here.
Okay, well, we're going to keep that in mind. And I should have taken the many hints. You know, Jason, we had a meeting once, and Chris had on there the agenda item here talking about NC State and the and how well they were doing in the playoffs. Chris, you've been a guest in the program before. Your previous role was Associate State Director. You're now leading our organization's advocacy work at both the state and federal level here from North Carolina, which is something that your background actually speaks to. So please tell us a bit, for those of you who've never heard you before, tell us a bit about yourself before AARP and in your recent years with AARP that has made this new role a good match for you.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for the question, Mike. So, you know, I started as the kid who every morning was reading the newspaper at a young age, wanting to know what was going on in the world, watching the evening news as a 10-year-old, was just always really into politics and government. And so that passion sort of remained as I got a little older. And after I finished school, I went to work for former U.S. Senator Richard Burr. I worked for him for a couple of years, actually in on the coast of North Carolina, and primarily worked on veteran and military issues. We have a very high veteran military population on the eastern part of the state. And then made my way back to Raleigh and worked for former Congressman George Holding for about 5 years. And I think seemed like I handled just about any and everything for his office. So got a lot of great experience there, learned a lot, got to interact with folks from across the state and hear about various issues that North Carolinians were experiencing. And also got the chance to sort of sit on the other side of the table, so to speak, when it comes to advocacy, and had numerous groups over the years come in and advocate to us about certain issues. And I kind of got to see strategies I thought were really effective for advocacy, as well as maybe some that weren't so effective.
That's a great point to end on there. And then we're going to do a commercial break in about a minute or so. But for those who are listening who are unaware or misinformed about what AARP is and how we do our advocacy work, can you quickly just tell them a bit about how we're structured and how we advocate?
Sure. Yeah. So I think that's one of the most unique parts about AARP, and it's one of the parts I love the most about it, is we are a large nonprofit that's nonpartisan. So we have never and will never endorse candidates. We do not give money to candidates. And I think that gives us a real special sweet spot when it comes to advocating, because we are really looking to build bridges, to work specifically on certain policies that we think are beneficial to the 50 plus. And we're very careful about that. And we're very careful because we know the reputation that we have, and we know that we're working for our members. And frankly, in North Carolina, our membership reflects the state's political demographics as well. We're about a third Republican, a third Democrat, a third unaffiliated. And so we're trying to be very aware of that when it comes to our advocacy and representing all of our members.
And, you know, that I think that's always been a real strong value that AARP has compared to other organizations, which do have a PAC that endorses candidates and cuts checks. With AARP, our strength has always been constituents sitting, meeting with a legislator, meeting with a representative, and saying, this issue is important to me and why. And there are many of us. The older voters go out and vote more loyally in every election, from federal election to municipal elections to off-year and special elections, than any other single group out there. When we return, folks, we're going to continue our conversation with Chris Brandenburg. This is AARP Without Limits. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is AARP Without Limits. Just a reminder, folks, we always love to hear from you. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a suggestion for a future guest or topic, please send us an email to aarpwithoutlimits@aarp.org. We've been speaking today with Chris Brandenburg. He is the new manager of advocacy for AARP North Carolina. We've been speaking a bit about his background and how AARP does advocacy work. Chris, this year the North Carolina State Legislature is having what's called a short session, which just began this past week. Tell us a bit about the short session. What does that mean? You know, when does it start? When does it end? And what does our organization, AARP North Carolina, hope to get accomplished in that window?
Sure. Yeah. So, the North Carolina State Legislature operates on what's called a two-year biennium. And so during even-numbered years, which we're in currently, they have what's called a short session. And that typically starts in late April, early May. And it can run from anywhere from a few weeks to a few months. And you never know for sure just how long it will run. Right now, with some of the conversations I've had with legislators, they seem very motivated to want to try to get in and get some things done and get out. And there's a number of reasons for that. For one, folks like to have a little bit of summer, you know, time for summer to go on vacations and things like that with their families. You got to remember, you know, legislators are still people too, despite what what you might think. But you know, additionally, the last two short sessions have not really been short. So they've had conversations going into those where they've had the goal of making them shorter, and there's been certain policy battles that have kind of gone on longer than I think many folks thought they would, and they ended up, the short sessions really went through the summer, in some cases maybe even into the early fall. So from what I'm hearing, they're motivated to try to get things wrapped up and by you know, around the 4th of July. But again, we've heard that before, so we will see just how long this session goes. But during this short session time period, typically unfinished business from the previous year's long session is what they're really looking at. addressing. And then they're also primary purpose is to sort of look at making changes to the budget that would have been passed the year before. So each long session, one of the primary goals is to get that budget done. And so they will make tweaks to that budget with the new revenue projections during the short session. So that is one of the things that yesterday when I was over there talking to some folks, that was the big thing on people's minds was looking at the numbers, seeing how much additional funding may or may not be available, and then making some decisions on some pieces of the state budget.
Now, you've been working on planning a lobby day for May 7th there at the State House. Tell us a bit about that. What's a lobby day, and what's this one about?
Sure. Yeah. So I like calling it an advocacy day because I think at times folks can be intimidated with the word lobby, but the history behind lobbying lobbyists is a whole other conversation that is a little funny. But to me, advocacy is what I like to refer to it as, because I think we're all advocates. I think each and every one of us, you know, growing up, we've advocated before. As a kid, I'm certain that you advocated for things like a later bedtime or you know, ice cream for breakfast. So we all have that advocacy gene in us. Just taking the time to find it and utilize it. And so, on the 7th of May, there'll be a group of aging advocates, including AARP, that will meet at the North Carolina General Assembly, and we'll be advocating on what's called the Multi-Sector Plan for Aging, which is known as All Ages, All Stages North Carolina. And the big piece of that we're really looking to share right now is simply educating legislators on the rapidly changing demographics in our state, and then letting them know that, hey, there is a plan that a number of stakeholders have spent the past year working on that was led by the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services, but a large group of folks. I had the pleasure of helping chair a subcommittee that involved affordable aging was one of the issues that we looked at. But there's a whole plan on how the state can best address the demographic changes that we're seeing. But by 2031, Mike, in North Carolina, we'll have more folks over the age of 65 than we will under the age of 18. So we do need to, prepare for that and do it in a way that is carefully considered and thought out.
Yeah, you know, to follow up on that, most people are familiar with the concept of, you know, the baby boom, you know, the huge generation after World War II that really changed, you know, it's not only huge, but very different, changed society in a lot of ways, gave us the movements of the 60s, and now they're redefining aging, and they don't want to age necessarily like their parents did, and they're now, you know, right in the middle of that boomer wave turning 65. They're now at a rate of 11,000 per day are turning 65, and most people have thought about this as a national issue that Washington needs to solve, but as we all know, real life happens in the community and in neighborhoods, and our state and our communities of our state need to be prepared. And so this is geared towards that. On the federal side, speaking of the federal stuff, Chris, Congress has been in the news lately, especially when it comes to foreign aid and things like that. But on domestic issues that affect the 50-plus, what's going on? What's AARP keeping an eye on?
Sure. Yeah, it's easy to sort of get lost in the headlines when it comes to federal level stuff, and especially with constantly wondering if there's going to be another new speaker of the House up in Washington. But there is a lot going on that we're closely monitoring and engaging in advocacy on federally for the 50 plus. And I'd say one of the biggest things that we continue to urge Congress to look for bipartisan solutions to right now is Social Security and looking at the trust fund running out in 2032. And so we are already trying to be extremely proactive with that and encouraging Congress to do the same and look for bipartisan solutions to address that. Because, Mike, as you know, there is no stronger advocate for Social Security than AARP. That is one of the bread and butter issues for us. It's consistently what our members, when they think of AARP, that's what they associate us with. So we are already proactively pushing on that. There's another program I'll just mention briefly that many folks became familiar with during the pandemic, the Affordable Connectivity Program. Funding for that is actually running out here at the end of April, so it's running out right about now, and we have been fiercely advocating for that for the past several months. There are tens of thousands of 50-plus North Carolinians that have taken advantage of that program, and nationwide there's many, many as well. And so that's an issue that we're fighting hard on. Number of issues that we're fighting hard on, but those are the first two that come to mind for me right now.
Mm-hmm. Chris, you also have the honor, if I can call it that, of leading ARP North Carolina's voter engagement work here in the state. If you could just quickly spell out what that means, what do we mean by voter engagement, and what are we doing to help voters this year?
Sure. Great question. And, you know, as we talked about before, we're nonpartisan. We're not endorsing candidates. We're not getting involved in telling people who to vote for. What we are doing is letting people know, here's how you vote in North Carolina. And here's where the candidates stand on these issues impacting the 50-plus. And we're also trying to let the candidates know, as you alluded to earlier, Mike, it's the 50-plus voters that consistently, election cycle after election cycle, are the ones who vote. And the last election cycle in North Carolina, 64% of people in 2022 who cast a ballot in this state were 50-plus. So it is a massive percentage. The impact, 50-plus are the deciders each cycle. And our goal is to continue to allow those 50-plus voters to have the information to be able to successfully cast that ballot. And so that's what we're working hard on. There's been some changes in some laws in North Carolina this go-around, so we're especially focused on educating folks around the new voter ID law, as well as some changes to absentee voting in North Carolina.
And that 64% turnout statistic, folks who are listening, especially you elected officials, know that that number is only going to continue to grow because, as Chris and I just spoke about a moment ago, the demographics of the state are changing. And so as the years go on, the percentage of voter turnout is likely to be even higher than that consistently. So that is why we are here. Chris, thanks so much for being with us. I really appreciate everything that you're doing. And folks can follow you on social media?
That's right. Yeah. Feel free to follow me on social media. I try to stay especially active on, I guess it's called X now, but I still think I refer to it as Twitter, but especially active on there, sharing legislative updates, things that we're working on. And anybody who's interested in becoming involved with our advocacy work, feel free to shoot us an email here at the show. We'd be happy to connect with you and see if there's a particular area that you may be passionate about that you may want to get plugged in with.
And again, that email is aarpwithoutlimits@aarp.org. Well, that is a wrap, folks. I want to thank Chris Brandenburg for being our guest. Thank you to Jason Kong for production. Thank you for listening. This has been AARP Without Limits. We'll see you next time.